Isaiah chapter 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. The city is left, or in the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel from the isles of the sea. From the utmost or uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's a great passage, and I think that what Isaiah does in this passage is he looks not at a particular age, but a very broad sweep prophetically. Notice that up to this point, what have we been hearing? Well, we have had the burden of Tyre. We've had the burden of Babylon. We've had the burden of Assyria. We've had all of those nations around Israel, those who were either friends or foes of Israel. We've had the burden of all of those. Then last week, what did we have? We had the burden of the Valley of Vision. In other words, Jerusalem itself. And so here then, Isaiah is looking over the entirety of the landscape. And in that prophetic vision, what Isaiah sees is that the curse has devoured the earth. That all nations, even God's holy people, if they be considered in themselves, are a people accursed. That the curse is indeed pervasive. It has destroyed the face of the earth, and all of the inhabitants of the earth, as the prophet here says, are burned. They're all caught in the fire. There is a measure of judgment upon all, even God's people. And brothers and sisters, do we not know that? Do we not experience that? Do we not see it in Scripture? And do we not feel it in our bones? Does not that Scripture resonate with when we read the 7th chapter of Romans with the Apostle Paul? That which I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. Wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death that hangs upon me and grips on me? And so we see the curse has indeed devoured the earth. Notice that the prophet says that what the inhabitants of the earth have done, they have changed the ordinances. You hear me pray often when we're praying for forgiveness that we change the ordinances, don't we? We take that everlasting commandment of the Lord and we substitute something else. Adam and Eve did the same thing at the very beginning, didn't they? They thought they could get behind God's law and really understand what He wanted them to do, even though He had said something. So we change the ordinances. Notice they have broken the everlasting covenant. And I believe that the everlasting covenant here referenced is indeed the covenant of works that was broken, that God made with the progenitor of our race and in Him as a public person with us all. And so that term or those terms of communion that God said, if you would be mine, if you will belong to me, if you will commune with me, you will keep my commandments. And what did we do in Adam? We broke that everlasting covenant. Therefore, the prophet tells us here, the curse has devoured the earth. It has. The curse has devoured the earth. That wondrous estate of paradise is no more. In Christ it shall be restored. In Christ it shall be renewed. In Christ, paradise plus comes to pass in time. But now we live in what the Puritans used to call a veil of shadows or a veil of tears, recognizing our fallen estate, recognizing our inability, being grieved that we also in Adam have broken the everlasting covenant and daily sin against the Lord in thought, word, and deed. I believe that's what Isaiah is looking at here in chapter 24. That he has that broad sweep of the fallenness of man, the destruction and cursedness of the creation because of him. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a mess we've made. What a mess we've made. And that essentially takes up verses 1 through, I think it's 14. My glass is on, I'll tell you for sure. 1 through 12. Then notice the Lord moves. Because man has devoured the earth, because his sins and the curse have devoured the earth and all men are burned and unable, what does the Lord do? Back in California, we had these machines they have them out here too. They use them especially when it comes to pecan harvest here. But back in California, they use them for all kinds of things. They are these machines, and what the owner of the orchard does is he takes this machine and he hooks it up to the trunk of the tree, and he starts it up and says go, and it just goes, and all the fruit comes falling off, and then they pick them up off the ground. That's the picture here that Isaiah paints. He says the Lord is going to harvest, but the harvest here is not good. It's a bad harvest. The Lord is going to shake the tree, and in shaking the tree, there's going to be a lot of fruit that falls off. But notice, there shall also be that remnant, that gleaning that shall remain. And so that's what we see in verse 13. Notice, when thus it shall be in the midst of the land of the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when vintage is done, they shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. And here Isaiah tells us that the harvest of gleaning grapes, that the harvest of that remnant that is left, it's not going to be so very small. It's going to be not only here in the land, but it'll be in the sea, it'll be in the isles, it'll be everywhere. I like Dr. Young here. He says, glorify the Lord in the sea and in the fires. The fires here, the word is obscure, and commentators have it differently. Some commentators say it's the fires of the heathen. Some commentators say, no, it's in the valleys, because that word was used of a valley also. But I think Dr. Young has it right when he says that the fires here is not really the fires, but the light of the east. And so think of yourself as standing in Palestine, standing at the River Jordan. What is to your west? The sea, right? The Mediterranean Sea, big and wide and deep, where the islands are, the ends of the world out there. And so glorify the Lord in the sea and in the isles, and then glorify Him in the fires. That is, in the fire of the east, in the rising of the sun. So from the east to the west, there shall be those. They will be like gleaning grapes. They will be like the harvest of olive trees after the olive tree is shaken, and those fruits that are left upon the tree, and they will glorify the Lord from the east to the west as far as it goes, as far as the isles in the west and as far as the sun rising in the east. So I think Dr. Young has it right there. All right, and notice what they shall do. They shall sing of the majesty of the Lord. They shall sing of the majesty of the Lord. And so Isaiah here opens up our understanding, or the understanding of the ancient Jews, to know that who is it that will be singing of the majesty of the Lord? Well, it'll be far beyond Palestine. It'll be all the way here to North Texas and beyond, right? All right, then verses 16 through the end of the chapter, from the uttermost part of the earth songs shall be heard. But notice what the prophet says, my leanness. And so here the prophet recalls the great judgment. So great is that judgment that it must be said again, for it is only by that judgment that the remnant are identified and left. And then finally, more statements of that great judgment. But in the end, we see the Lord is reigning gloriously with His remnant. Where? In Mount Zion. Right? In that church of the living God. Thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 24. A great passage speaking of the expansion of the gospel to every corner of the earth and the singing and praise that will come from every corner. And in an application of that, Benjamin, you have it right. Let's all stand and continue praising God in Psalm 30.